Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York and Scottish Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Well, we were dark for a week, so I could take care of some loose ends with my father who passed. I got a ton of condolences from all over, and I just want to express my overwhelming thanks for all of your support during that time. Also, during the break, I flew out to LA and drove to Mammoth Lakes, California, for a photo trip. It's been forever since I picked up my camera, but I did it and I got some great shots, including a few from some local lodges right off of the US Highway 395, one of which I got a tour through. I'll have that and the pictures for the Midnight Freemason, most likely. Well, this is my first episode since becoming a Scottish Rite member, and over the weekend I received a ton of degrees, culminating in my 32nd. It was an amazing experience, I have to say. On another front, the Stitcher Smart Radio voting has closed. And kind of a bummer, but we didn't make it to the finalists in any category. But not everyone loves Freemasonry, right? So maybe next time. For those of you who checked out the Midnight Freemason piece I did about the Valley of Chicago, I had one correction. The chair that was restored was $500 and not $5,000. I'm working on posting that article here on the blog as well so that you can check out some of the pictures that didn't make it all the way to the final upload on the Midnight Freemasons. I also wanted to mention our buddy Joseph James, the brother and director, has completed a trailer for his new movie, Templar Nation, which looks to be an exciting action adventure. You can view the trailer on YouTube by searching Templar Nation, but I have to say there is a bit of language in the trailer, so be forewarned if you are easily offended and or have small children in the room. It looks pretty darn good. I know that I want to see it. Let's jump right into the paper for this week, entitled Abe Lincoln's Axe by Jim Tresner. The story is told of a historian recording folk history in Illinois in the 1970s. Several people in the countryside had told him of a farm family which possessed the axe Abraham Lincoln had used when splitting logs for a living as a young man. The historian finally found the farm, and found the farmer in the yard splitting wood for the living room fireplace. He asked him about the story. "Yes," said the farmer, "it's true. Abe Lincoln lived around here as a young man, and he worked for a while splitting wood for my great-great-grandfather. Happened he bought a new axe from a peddler the day before Abe Lincoln came to work here, and gave it to Lincoln to use. We've kept it ever since." "That's a real historical treasure," said the historian. "It really ought to be in a museum. Would you mind going into the house and bringing it out so that I could see it?" "Oh, we know it's important," said the farmer. "I take it to school from time to time and tell the kids about it and Lincoln. Seems to sort of make him real for them. But I don't have to go into the house. I've got it here." He handed the horrified historian the axe that he had been using.
"You mean you're still using it?"
"Sure thing. An axe is meant to be used." The historian looked it over carefully. "I must say your family has certainly taken good care of it." "Sure, we know we're protecting history. Why, we've replaced the handle twice and the head once. In many ways, Masonry is like Abe Lincoln's axe. All of us tend to assume that Masonry has always been the way it was when we joined, and we become fiercely protective of it in that form. But in fact, we've done more than replace the handle twice and the head once. For example, the eulogy to Mother was added to the stairway lecture in Oklahoma sometime between 1924 and 1930. Almost no other state uses it. When Oklahoma Territory and Indian Territory merged to form the Grand Lodge of Oklahoma, major changes in the ritual, both esoteric and exoteric, were made for at least 6 years as the two rituals were combined. When brothers George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and Paul Revere and the other Masons of their era and four decades to come joined the fraternity, they did not demonstrate proficiency by memorizing categorical lectures. Instead, the same evening they received a degree, they sat around a table with other brethren of the lodge. The brethren asked each other questions and answered them for the instruction of the new brother. They asked him questions and helped him with the answers. The discussion continued until they were confident that he understood the lesson of the degree. They then taught him the signs and tokens, and he was proficient. In many cases, he took the next degree the next night. The system of demonstrating proficiency by memorizing categorical lectures is less than about twice as old as the average Mason in Oklahoma. Not too long a span in the 1,000-year history of the fraternity.
The custom of allowing 28 days to pass between degrees came about for no other reason than the fact that most lodges only met every 28 days, on the nights of the full moon. There was no mystery behind that. Very few horses come equipped with headlights, and only on nights of a full moon could people see well enough to leave their homes in the country and come into town for a meeting safely. The names of the three ruffians have changed at least three times since Master Mason Degree was created, around 1727. More importantly, the nature and purpose of the fraternity has changed radically over time. It certainly is no longer a protective trade association, nor a political force among amounting almost to a political party, but it has been those over its long history. So yes, Masonry changes. It changes fairly frequently and sometimes dramatically, far from being a bastion of conservative resistance to change. Through most of its history, it has been major change agent, fostering revolutions in political life, the American Revolution, for example, and social life. It created the tax-supported public school system, it created homes for the elderly and orphanages, and then worked for the sort of social legislation to make those widespread. It sought economic development for states and communities. Until the late 1940s and 50s, it was one of the most potent forces for change in America. And Masonry is like Abe Lincoln's axe, in another way. For although the handle and head had been replaced, that axe was still the one used by Abe Lincoln in truth, if not in fact. The farmer used it to teach. He told children about it and about Abe Lincoln. He helped make the past real to them so that they could learn the great values of honesty and hard work which Lincoln typified. It's the same with Masonry, in spite of the many changes which have already happened and the changes which are bound to happen in the future for Masonry, like any living thing, must change and grow or die. It is still the same. Its essence, the lessons it teaches, the difference it makes in the lives of men, that great moment of transformation which is the goal of Masonry, when a man becomes something new and better than he was when he came into the door as a candidate. That essence cannot and will not be lost as long as brothers meet in the true Masonic spirit to work and learn and study and improve themselves and the world. That's Masonry, and like Abe Lincoln's axe, it was meant to be used, not to rust away in the museum case. That use keeps it bright and sharp and Masonic, no matter how often the handle and head need to be replaced. That was from the Oklahoma Mason, April-May, 1995. I'm going to take just a moment here to tell you all who may not know that we do have several ways of listening to the show. We have our own app, which is on the Android platform as well as the Apple products. It is $2, and what you get is unlimited streaming access to the show, the ability to download episodes and mark favorites so that you can listen to them on an airplane or in a no-service area, or just to keep forever, for whatever reason you may have. With our app, you get the bonus content with each episode. Typically, it will be a PDF of the paper that we read and a Masonic mobile wallpaper for your device. We are also on the Stitcher Smart Radio app, which lets you listen streaming, but this one is free. There are no bonus features, but it's still a great way to listen. When you register, use the promo code WENCECAMU with no spaces, and then Stitcher will send the show $1 to offset hosting costs of the audio files. Also, by registering, you do get entered into a drawing for $100. We're also on iTunes, where you can subscribe, as well as the new Apple app, Podcasts, where you can just listen streaming over a cellular network or Wi-Fi, which is also free. We also just completed total Twitter integration with the Stitcher app. This week's famous Freemason was actually suggested by Brother Matt Wenzo. Brother Matt, I hope I didn't butcher your last name too badly. He asked me to give a shout out to the brothers from Resurgam Lodge number 31 in Mitchell, South Dakota, in tribute to our brother McGovern, who has passed on to the Celestial Lodge above. The following is in tribute to our fallen brother. Former Senator and presidential candidate George McGovern, who has recently just passed away. This article was written by Robert L. Usel, 32nd degree, Prince Hall affiliate. Senator George Stanley McGovern is a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason, Southern jurisdiction, who has long been identified with the grassroots of America. He titled his autobiography Grassroots and gave the following explanation for the title. As a product of the Dakota prairies, my physical and spiritual heritage is in the land and among ordinary Americans of all walks of life. My years of building a two-party government in South Dakota were referred to from the beginning as grassroots organizing. My campaigns for the Congress, the Senate, and the presidency have constantly been designated grassroots campaigns. So this informal memoir is called Grassroots. This outstanding son of the middle border and global citizen was born on 19th of January 1922 in Wesleyan Methodist Parsonage in Avon, South Dakota. His family moved to Mitchell, South Dakota in 1928 and Illinois. McGovern graduated from Mitchell High School in 1940, an outstanding student, especially proficient in debate. George won a scholarship to Dakota Wesleyan University in Mitchell. There he was no doubt influenced by the school's motto of sacrifice or service. As an undergraduate, he won the state oratorical contest with a speech titled My Brother's Keeper, in which he expressed a belief in the responsibility of the individual to humankind. At Dakota Wesleyan, he met a fellow student, Eleanor Stiegberg, and they were married on the 31st of October 1943. The couple's five children were all born in Mitchell. McGovern's education was interrupted in 1943 by the call to serve his country in World War II. As a B-24 bomber pilot in Europe, he flew 35 combat missions and earned the Distinguished Flying Cross. After completing his military service, McGovern returned to Dakota Wesleyan, graduating in 1946. He then spent 1 year at Garrett Theological Seminary in Evanston, Illinois, before transferring to Chicago's Northwestern University, where he received his master's and his PhD in history and political science. From 1950 to 1955, he was a beloved and respected faculty member at Dakota Wesleyan. During his time at the alma mater, Professor McGovern became a Mason in Resurgam Lodge No. 31 in Mitchell. He was initiated as an entered apprentice on the 20th of December 1954, passed to the degree of Fellowcraft on November 16th, 1954, and was raised to the sublime degree of Master Mason on the 21st of December 1954. Shortly after his resignation from his teaching position, he received the 32nd degree of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite in Oriental Consistory, Yankton, South Dakota, becoming a Master of the Royal Secret on the 13th of November 1955. His devotion to the principles of Freemasonry, as expressed in his years of public service, resulted in his being coronated a 33rd degree Inspector General Honorary by the Supreme Council 33rd degree of the Southern Jurisdiction on the 23rd of October, 1969. Professor McGovern left the classroom in 1955 to become Executive Secretary of the South Dakota Democratic Party. He did much to revitalize his party in a largely Republican state. In 1956, he was elected to Congress, and in 1958, he was re-elected. In 1960, he ran unsuccessfully for the U.S. Senate. However, he was soon appointed by the newly elected President John F. Kennedy as the first director of the Food for Peace program and as a special assistant to the president. In these roles, he was able to oversee the donation of millions of tons of food to the developing nations. He was then elected to the U.S. Senate in 1962 and was re-elected in 1968 and 1974. He represented America's heartland with distinction by serving on the committees on agriculture, nutrition, forestry, and foreign relations, as well as the Joint Economic Committee. In both houses of Congress, he spoke out forcefully against American involvement in Vietnam War and on behalf of American farmers and the dispossessed. In 1972, he was a Democratic nominee for president, the only South Dakotan so honored by a major party. In 1976, President Gerald Ford, 33rd degree, Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, Grand Cross, SJ, appointed McGovern as a delegate to the General Assembly of the United Nations. Then in 1978, President Jimmy Carter named him as a delegate to the UN Special Session on Disarmament. After leaving the Senate in 1981, McGovern had been honored as a visiting professor at the numerous institutions of higher learning. He served as president of the Middle East Policy Council from 1991 to 1998 when President Bill Clinton had appointed him ambassador to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome. In this position, he has done much to combat world hunger. On 9th of August 2000, President Clinton awarded him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, America's highest civilian honor. He now serves as the UN's first global ambassador on world hunger. Although he turned 80 on the 19th of July 2002, it appears that the word retirement is not part of his vocabulary. Over the years, McGovern has found the time to write numerous books. One book grew out of the family tragedy. It's entitled Terry, My Daughter's Life and Death Struggle with Alcoholism. The royalties are used to help finance the Terry McGovern Foundation, which was established to promote research on alcoholism and help other families avoid the tragic loss of a loved one to this devastating disease. That's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, or Google Plus at Whence Came You. Some of you can find me on the Freemason Network as well. Email the show at wcypodcast@gmail.com for questions and for the Google Plus. And one more reminder to check out our Stitcher Smart Radio app and our podcast app on Apple and on Android. Don't forget about the Midnight Freemasons page for great articles almost daily, some of which are by yours truly. Also, check out that Templar Nation trailer and our brother Gardner's new blog, looktotheeast.blogspot.com. And the 2 is the number 2, so look to the number 2 east.blogspot.com. Until next week, for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.